I'm Stuart McIntosh with the BBC News. Hello. Donald Trump has marked the end of the first day of a landmark trial against him in New York by telling reporters it's a scam and a political witch hunt. Mr. Trump was speaking after becoming the first ever US president, former or current, to face criminal charges in court. The initial phase of jury selection saw nearly two-thirds of the first 96 prospective jurors dismissed because they said they couldn't be impartial. More from Sarah Smith.
Just selecting the jury could take a couple of weeks. The trial itself could last a couple of months, with Mr. Trump required to be in the courtroom. He and his legal team have been denied permission to attend a Supreme Court hearing on whether presidential immunity makes him immune from prosecution. He's worried he might not get the day off to attend his youngest son's high school graduation. And of course, the trial and the time it takes Mr. Trump away from the campaign trail could have a significant impact on November's presidential election.
Police in Australia say the knife attack at a church in West Sydney on Monday was a terrorist incident. A 15-year-old boy was arrested after a bishop and several other people were stabbed. None suffered life-threatening injuries. Karen Webb is the commissioner of the New South Wales Police Force.
Shortly after 7 p.m. last night, police were called to a church in Wakeley in southwest Sydney in relation to reports that a male was stabbing the clergy inside that building. Police responded and arrested a young person, and he was restrained inside that building. Subsequently, after consideration of all the material, I declared that it was a terrorist incident.
The police said the suspect was known to them but wasn't on any terror watch list. The lower house of parliament in Britain has rejected six amendments to a controversial new bill which aims to send some asylum seekers to Rwanda. The rejected amendments included one that would have prevented the removal of people who'd supported the UK's armed forces overseas. Critics say the bill breaks international law on asylum. Israel's war cabinet has met for a second time in as many days to discuss its response to Iran's unprecedented drone and missile attack. Earlier, the head of Israel's army, Herzi Halevi, reiterated that Iran's weekend missile and drone attack would not go unanswered.
We are closely assessing the situation. We remain at our highest level of readiness. Iran will face the consequences for its actions. We will choose our response accordingly.
Mr. Halevi was speaking at Israel's Nevatim air base, which suffered some damage in the Iranian assault. You're listening to the latest world news coming to you from the BBC. The head of the United Nations nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, has warned that the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power station in Ukraine is on the verge of a serious accident. Rafael Grossi was speaking after the reactor building was hit in a drone attack on Sunday, the worst such incident since November 2022. The facility has repeatedly come under direct fire, with Ukraine and Russia blaming each other. The weapons supervisor who loaded the gun that killed a cinematographer on the set of the film Rust has been sentenced to 18 months in prison. The judge said that Hannah Gutierrez-Reed had turned a safe weapon into a lethal one by failing to ensure it was loaded with dummy rounds. Creating fake sexually explicit material of someone without their consent is set to become a criminal offence in parts of Britain. While UK laws already criminalise sharing such digital content, individuals in England and Wales who produce so-called deep fakes will soon face an unlimited fine, as June Kelly reports.
The new law will mean that anyone who creates a sexually explicit deep fake image, even if there are said to be no plans to share it, will be committing an offence. The Ministry of Justice says it's targeting those intent on causing alarm, humiliation or distress to their victims. The penalty will be an unlimited fine. In recent years, there's been a huge increase in sexual deepfakes, with faces of victims being superimposed onto online pornographic images and videos.
The US State Department has said it'll only renew Venezuela's oil sector licenses if there's progress on its commitment to hold free and fair elections in July. The licenses were issued in October when President Nicolas Maduro signed a deal with opposition leaders to open up the electoral process. But the main opposition candidate, Maria Corina Machado, has since been banned from running. That is the BBC News.